Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are the only one who can fill our cup up, can feed our soul, who can make us whole, who can satisfy the longings of our lives, who can give us rest in our weariness. Thank you for your presence with us as we have invited you to come and declared our dependence and our need for you through these songs of worship and praise, declaring who you are, but acknowledging our need for you. And I pray, Father, as we would continue to wait upon you and listen for what you would say to us, that Spirit of the living God, that you would fall fresh and that you would speak to our hearts through the Word of God that is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing joint and marrow, soul and spirit. Would you speak to us? Give us listening ears and give us the grace to have willing hearts to receive what you say to us and to receive what we need from you. Father, we lift our cup up. We lift our weariness up, the longing of our soul up to you, trusting that you will meet us here, just as you are doing. Continue that work, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, the children from 3 years old to sixth grade would be dismissed for children's church. The parents, grandparents, guardians would pick children up downstairs in the fellowship hall today following the service. That is where they will be spending all of their time this morning. And for everyone else listening here in the sanctuary or in the overflow or online or through the week, I invite you to open a Bible, if you have one, to the book of Psalm chapter 4. Psalm's about midway through the Bible. A collection of songs written by people under the inspiration of the Lord and the Holy Spirit to give word to our need and our desire, our celebration, but also our longings. And we look to Psalm 4 this morning as a pattern for walking us through the weariness. Thank you to the worship team for leading us to a place of receiving from the Lord this morning. Psalm 4 is written by David, and it was a song or a psalm that was written in the midst of distress in his life. Many commentators believe that the distress came from deceitful men, as we'll see, that were in his life. And whatever the exact circumstance was, the result was clear. It wore him out. And it caused him to call out, to cry out, and to long for relief that only the Lord could bring. And so this morning, as we have done, if you've been a part of our church family for a while, we're going to do something that we've done a couple of times. And if you're newer, it's maybe the first time for you to experience this with us. What we're going to do is we're going to, rather than a message that would be all at one time, we're going to look at three practices this morning from Psalm 4, and at the end of each practice that David lays out for us that he laid out, that he practiced, we want to give some space. One of the things that church can be, especially as we sit in rows like this, we just come and we listen, or we come and sometimes it's not always a place where we on our own engage. And so this morning we want to, just as we've done in worship, also in this time of receiving and looking into the Word of God, that it would give us space to be able to just be with the Lord. Especially in a loud and busy and crazy world, it's one of those things that often seems to elude us, is just space to be with the Lord. And so after each of these practices, we want to give a matter of time for us just to individually be with the Lord and practice this and be present with him for what he would want to do. Because ultimately what we want, just as has been happening already, is that we would be ministered to by the Lord, that there would be ministry for the weary this morning. So Psalm 4, the first practice comes from the first two verses, but I want to just read first the whole psalm, just eight verses, just so you have a context for where we'll be looking. Psalm 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Answer me," David writes, "when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." Three practices. The first, there are sermon notes in the bulletins. The first practice is this: call out to God in your distress. Call out to God in your distress. Verses 1 and 2 again say, "Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer." David is calling out to the Lord in prayer. He asks for release and relief from his distress. I think what's very important and what is a temptation for me, and I think probably for many of us, is we run to either people or we run to created things in the midst of our distress. We look to things that are not necessarily sometimes bad. Running to a person for help is not a bad thing. But we run to things or people instead of the one who is the helper of our soul, the one who brings relief, and that is the Lord. We haven't taken it to the Lord, and often we're weary because we haven't run to him. We haven't called out to him in the midst of our distress. And so David does what we need to do. He starts, his starting point is not anything else but the Lord. And he calls out here, "Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God," declaring that God is righteous. "Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me. Hear my prayer." He names then, after saying, this is where I'm going, this is who I'm turning to, I'm calling out to God in my distress, he begins to name two of the reasons that he is in distress. He says, "How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame?" Another way to say this, how long, O men, will you dishonor my glorious one? In other words, he is saying that these men in his life, these men who are bringing distress against him, are coming and dishonoring the Lord. Not only are they dishonoring the Lord, these people around him, but he says, how long will you, and speaking of these men that are causing this distress in his life, how long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Or another way, how long will you love delusions and seek lies? And so he has these people around him who are loving delusions, who are loving lies, who are loving false gods. And in David's life, they are bringing distress and they are bringing weariness. He names it. He names the things that are bringing weariness and distress to him as he is calling out to the Lord for help. You know, in our lives these days, there are many possible things that could be causing us distress and weariness. All I have to do is say 2020 and everyone understands what I'm saying. This year has been a year of distress. Some of them are, people talk about a lot of this pandemic fatigue. Have you heard that phrase, pandemic fatigue? That wearing these things, these masks, that social distancing, the restrictions that have been in place since the middle of March, it just wears you out. Becoming tired of it, becoming extremely fatigued by it. And then there's word that it's very possible that the fall and the winter are going to be even darker than it was, depending. It's possible. And so it wears on us. There is fatigue, pandemic fatigue. As I was looking at this psalm and thinking about some of these things, I was reminded the second week of quarantine, the second week of online services would have been for Sunday, March the 29th, as a look back. The second message that I preached it during that time from our living room in my grandmother, great-grandmother's chair in front of a fireplace. And the title of the message was To the Exiles at Home from Jeremiah 29. And the reason I remember that is because I really felt strongly that the Lord was giving kind of a prophetic word to us that the exiles that were taken off into Babylonian captivity then, the Lord told them through the prophet Jeremiah, settle down, build houses, plant crops, marry your children to other Israelite families. In other words, this isn't going to be over soon. They were there for 70 years, and the Lord's word to them was, don't think that this is just going to be a quick fix, quick over. This is a settle in for the long haul. And I believe the Lord was giving us a prophetic word then to settle in because this was not going to go away quickly. And clearly we've seen 7 months later that was true. And I believe that that prophetic word still stands for us today. I believe that we need to, rather than fight it and just be like, oh, when's this going to be done? Because that's what makes us weary when we're pushing against stuff. To be able to say, Lord, what does it look like for me in these days to settle in and to see what you are doing? Because fatigue in this pandemic really is a reality. And the more we fight against it, the wearier we become. God is doing something. Are we receiving what he's doing in the midst of it? Pandemic fatigue is one of those. Another one of the things that wear us out these days, I think, is political fatigue. Anybody there with me on that? Political fatigue? I'm counting down the days to when the election is over, but there's this gnawing sense that November 3rd isn't going to finish this thing. It's probably going to be going on after November the 3rd. With all the negativity and the divisiveness and all this stuff, it wears you out. For many, there's the financial, there's the economic fatigue that has resulted as a result of COVID. The strain financially, the lack of work for some, even the uncertainty of what this is going to look like financially for our economy, how long it will take for there to be a full recovery. There's financial economic fatigue. There's the racial tension fatigue that continues in the news and in situations that continue to come up that remain. There's school fatigue. How many there with me on that one? Homeschooling children, students and parents and teachers, weary due to homeschooling and life just being completely different. And then you add to all that just general life fatigue. There's all that stuff that is there, whether there's a pandemic, whether 2020 was happening, there's all that stuff that was probably going on in your life before in 2019. Things like normal health issues, normal family concerns that are burdensome, that are unique to each individual situation, but just are compounded by all this stuff that's going on. There's a lot of weariness. And so the Lord, through David, calls us to call out to him in the midst of it. And so what I would encourage us to do just for the next 5 minutes or so, whether if you're a journaler, you may want to jot some things down on those sermon notes or on a notebook if you have one, or you may just be a person who likes to process and pray through things, but would you just take about the next 5 minutes and first be able just to say, these are the things that are wearying me these days. These are the things that are causing distress in my life, like David did, saying these are the things that have caused distress. And just process that with the Lord. But at the same time, as you're processing that, say, Lord, I'm calling out to you. These are the things that are wearying me. These are the things that are causing me distress these days. And instead of running to something else, say, Lord, I'm turning to you for the help that I need. These things are distressing me. They're causing weariness. And so I acknowledge them before you, and I call out to you for help. So would you take the next 5 minutes or so, we'll have some music just playing in the background, to just be with the Lord and process these things together.
So, Father, as we acknowledge these things,
that are causing distress in our lives, that are producing weakness. We ask that you would give relief to us. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would pour out your mercy as we call out to you. You are our help. We call out to you. In Jesus' name, amen. First practice that David does is he calls out to God in his distress. The second is that he lets truth produce right living in his life. So let truth produce right living. Verses 3 through 5. Verse 3, it says, "Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him." David begins with a truth, and that truth is his identity truth. David declares, reminding himself that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. David acknowledges this is his identity in declaring this statement of truth, the statement of fact, that he is one who has been set apart by the Lord for himself, for the Lord. It is an identity of belonging. It's also an identity of godliness. It's an identity of holiness. It's an identity that we're not marked by our sin, but we're marked by who God is for us. For David, he was saying that it was his identity was in the Lord, that he belongs to the Lord, that he has set himself apart for the Lord. And today we would say that we are set apart for Christ, that our identity, as we talked about last week, praying upside down, that our identity comes, and our identity as a believer in Jesus is found in Christ. In your bulletins this morning, what I encourage you, and if you're watching on Facebook or on the website this morning, encouraging you to print out some things, because in your bulletin is this handout, Who We Are in Christ. And I've shared these with our church family over the past couple years, but it brings us to places of scriptural truth of who believers in Jesus Christ are, what our identity is now. Categories such as we are God's, such as his possession, his children, etc. That we have been adopted into his family. We've been bought by a price, with a price. We've been included in Christ. We've been justified freely by his grace. Then on the inside, we are in Christ, complete in him, born again, washed, sanctified, justified. Because of that, we have the hope of eternal life. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We have a king who returns for us. In light of these things, we can come boldly to the throne. We can find mercy and grace and help in our time of need. Because we are in Christ, we can never be separated from the love of God. In the back, we haven't been given a spirit of fear. We've been given a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline or self-control, sound mind. So we do not fear, and instead we do these things like confess our sin in confidence that he forgives us, that we set our minds on things above. Recognition of identity truth, who we are in Christ. David said, "Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself." And because of that, he says he will hear David when he cries. It's a right. It's a right that a child of God has to call out and to hear from the Lord. In a moment, I will give you some time to be able to kind of process this in the midst of our ministry time together. So hold on to that. We'll get back to it in a moment. Let truth produce right living. Identity truth then produces healthy soul responses and worship. Identity produces healthy soul responses in David's life and worship. Notice what he says in verse 4. "In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent." David acknowledges one of the many natural responses that could be expressed in distressing situations, and that is anger. The Apostle Paul picks up on this in Ephesians chapter 4 when he says the same thing: "In your anger, do not sin, or else you give the potential for the devil to have a foothold in our lives." So in order to do this, David says that we need to have space in our lives. He says, in your anger, do not sin. When you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. So there is a need for us to do some soul searching, some soul care work, searching our hearts with the Spirit's help in silence. I can say the health of my soul personally is completely dependent on how much time I have alone with Him in silence and in solitude with His word and in prayer. If my life is loud, if it's crazy, if I don't have that time regularly set apart with Him, my soul suffers. And I find myself responding in all kinds of ways because I'm coming from a place where my soul is not healthy. And the way to get healthy in our soul is to be silent before the Lord. It doesn't have to be on your bed, but that's a good place to do it. Unless you're like me and you lay down in your bed and you fall asleep right away. So that may not be the best place for some. But a place where you can be silent before the Lord, where you can listen to Him, where you can begin to process with the Lord. Lord, what is troubling me? Lord, how is pandemic fatigue, or how is political fatigue, or how is all the stuff going on with the school situation in my family? How is it troubling me? How is it weighing on my soul? What is it producing in me? Is it producing anger? Is it producing anxiousness? Is it producing fear? Am I coming out and am I becoming bitter at situations or at people? Lord, what is coming out? Lord, am I bringing it up and processing it, or am I stuffing it down and sticking a lid on it and pretending it's not there? Lord, how is my heart? Is it soft before You, or is it becoming hard before You? Lord, am I able to hear Your voice, or is Your voice seem way distant? Lord, am I turning to You for help, for comfort, or am I turning to myself and to created things, as we said earlier, for help and for comfort? Many questions. And one more that I would say is, Lord, in the midst of all these things, all these distresses, what are the losses that have come to my life as a result? And I really think that's a huge question for us when it comes to our soul these days. What are the things that we have lost? What are the things that we were hoping for? What are the ways that life we thought was going to look this way and it's not? Some of it we may need to grieve the losses of our lives, that life just isn't the way we were hoping it to be. But identity truth brings us to a place of healthy soul responses and worship. When our soul is healthy, worship flows freely. Verse 5, offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. The soul wrestling questions before the Lord once processed lead us to a place of worship before God. Not that everything has to be perfect in the world, not that everything has to be great and dandy, but that we are in a place that we have processed in honesty and we have brought to the Lord a place of broken and contrite spirit that is an acceptable sacrifice of worship. I can tell you, when I've dealt with issues of my soul, when anger has risen up or unforgiveness has risen up, or I feel bitter or I feel like I've lost something and I'm just not in a good place in my soul, when the Lord works in our hearts, in our soul in that way, when we come out of it, there's no other response that we want to do but worship. Lord, thank You. Thank You for what You've done. Thank You for lifting that burden. Thank You for shining a light on why I've been feeling so angsty. Thank You, Lord, for helping me to grieve a loss in my time. Help me. Thank You for helping me to forgive that person, whatever it may be that's plaguing our soul. When we walk through it, it just brings us to a place, Lord, I thank you. We worship. We praise Him. We trust You. So let truth produce right living. So here's what I would encourage you to do. I'm going to walk you through over the next about 8 minutes or so. I'm going to take 2 or 3 minutes, and I want you just to take this, who I am in Christ, and just begin to kind of read over them and let the truth of what Scripture says of who you are in Jesus settle on your soul. Start there. So take a few moments and just read through some of those, as many as you can. If you get stuck on one and you say, Lord, this is a hard one to believe, just stay right there. Say, Lord, help me to believe that this is true. This will probably just be a start, give you some opportunity to do some more later. But would you take a few moments and look at who you are in Christ?
Thank you.
tastes of what it looks like to be in his presence in these ways. For him to begin to do that work and to give us touches of his goodness and his presence, but to encourage you outside of these Sunday morning times in your own time to take some of these practices and to employ them in your own life so that you're encountering the presence of Jesus in your own life, not just on Sunday morning. Though it's good to be here together, isn't it? In his presence. Last practice. That is to find renewal in the Lord, verses 6 through 8. Find renewal in the Lord. David says, many are asking, who can show us any good? I just have to chuckle when I read that. Many are asking, who can show us any good? And it's not talking about the Lord, it's talking on a human level. Many are asking, who can show us any good? And isn't that a question that is being asked these days? Who can show us any good? Can a politician show us any good? Can a doctor or a medical leader show us any good? Can justice organizers show us any good? Can school teachers and administrators, can they show us any good? I believe all of them have ways in which they can show us good. But if our hope and our trust is in them to be able to find the life and the healing and the rest for our souls that we need, we're going to find ourselves lacking. David says, let the light, in the second half of verse 6, let the light of your face shine upon us. Take the shift away from people for them to be your savior, for them to be your fix, for them to be the one to make all of the distresses go away. And instead, turn your hearts and turn your eyes so that the face of the Lord might shine upon you. We only get this in his presence. We only get this when we get away with him, when we gather with other believers, when we encounter his presence through worship, through the word, through prayer, through silence, when we learn how to access his presence. Only then will we find the light of his face shining upon us, and only then will we say, ah, that is what my soul has been longing for. That is what I have been missing. That is why I am weary. Lord, let the light of your face shine upon us. We need you. When that happens, verses 7 and 8, you have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. It's talking about harvest time when they would celebrate and they would bring the harvest in and they would declare the goodness of the Lord. And David is saying, even as good as those blessings were, even as good as we saw your faithfulness in bringing the new grain and the new wine in, even as good as we saw that, there is greater joy that you have filled my heart with when your face shines upon us. It's bigger than circumstance. It's bigger than blessing. So that verse 8, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. See, there's renewal when we process these things, when we turn the ones that we're hoping for, when we turn away from people and circumstantial things to find the relief from the distress of our lives and the weariness of our lives, and we turn wholeheartedly to the face of the Lord, to his presence. And we find that even when change comes, even when blessing comes, even when the relief comes, that greater joy, greater love, greater mercy, greater rest, greater peace, greater safety, renewal comes in his presence. In his presence. And these replace the weariness of our soul and of our lives. And they bring the longing and the renewal that we have been hoping for. So in this last little section of ministry time is the way we're going to close the service this morning. Leah's going to come and she's going to sing and play a song for us called Run to the Father. And I would encourage you just to take these moments and just to receive from the Lord, just to be in his presence, just to use the lyrics of this song just to listen. And not even going to be lyrics up on the screen, but just to listen and to come into the presence of the Lord. Let the light of his face shine upon you. receive the renewal that only He can give.
Again and again.
I pray, I just invite you to receive from the Lord anything that would be impressed upon you as I would pray over you as we come to the close of our time this morning. So, Father, we do run to you. We thank you that you are a God who welcomes us home. Thank you that you are a Father who is always watching when we wander. And that you're a Father who says to those who have been close to you, everything I have has always been yours. So we run to you, we turn to you, we surrender to you. And so, Father, over my brothers and sisters, in the name and the authority of Christ, I would bind and break off the orphan spirit in the name of Jesus that says we don't belong, and bless everyone with the blessing of the Father, with the love of the Father, with the joy and the mercy and the grace of the Father. Bind and break off the spirit of poverty in this place that would say that we will never have enough because, Lord, you are always enough. We would declare, Father, an end to condemnation and guilt and shame from the evil one so that we might hear the word of the Father over us. You are forgiven. You are loved. You are welcomed. You don't have to do anything more. My son Jesus has already done it all. And so, Father, I pray that your spirit would come and just wash over souls, would wash over hearts, would give us what we long for, and that is you. Father, the greatest thing that we can leave this place from today is not the fixing of the distressing situations that we ask for them to be fixed. The greatest thing that we can receive is you. And so may the light of your face shine upon us. May it be greater joy than even the fixing of our situations.